It is the Sunday before Australia Day, the day we celebrate this land. And let me share with you that as I celebrate Australia Day, I am reminded that I am a banana. Well, apply to a person, I'm a person of course, but apply to a person, a banana, I think we all know this, is someone who is yellow on the outside, but white on the inside. How did I become a banana? Well, from primary school onwards, I was in English-speaking school. So English, in fact, if any student was caught speaking local dialects, they would be fined. And then from there, I was fortunate enough to study overseas in USA. So I've lived in both Eastern and Western worlds. And somehow, I prefer the latter, the Western world. Thus, the desire to migrate is born. While working in Brunei, Dolly and I, we applied for Australian PR in 1994. Well, we didn't make it. And as the years went on, this Western dream became more and more elusive, virtually impossible. However, 10 years later, while working in Singapore, Australian migration policy changed. And the timing couldn't be more perfect because we were already at the age limit. So it was then or never. And we barely just got enough points to squeeze through to get to live here in Australia. So here we are now, calling Australia home. Since 2008, our little household has been blessed to embark on our national heritage in Australia, to live the Australian dream, so to speak. Whether you are born here, or you migrated here on a fast jet or a slow boat, Australia is now part of you, and now you are part of Australia. So we can say, Happy Australia to one another, as we say Happy Australia Day to our country. How about if we just spend a minute to greet each other? Happy Australia Day. Yes, the person next to you. All right. Happy Australia Day, one and all. Now, as we reflect upon what Australia Day means to us as Aussies, let me also urge you, as Christians as well, that we celebrate Australia Day in the light of our eternal citizenship in God's kingdom. So that is the thrust of today's sermon. Yes, we say Happy Australia Day to each other, as we say Happy Australia Day to our country, Australia Day. But we also must bear in mind our dual citizenship, that we are Australians, we are Christians, and let the way we live as Australians be guided by our identity as Christians. So let us pray as we think about this. O Lord, our God, how wonderful it is that you care for us, even to such detail that you care for us where we stay, where we live, where our home is. And Father God, whether we have been Australians as long as we can remember, or we are Australian fresh off the boat or the plane, we pray, gracious God, today that we will do so, to live our Australian life in the light of what you have expressed in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, to teach us to live as Christians in this land as Australians. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as 2024 begins, I'm on a preaching series on New Year renewal. And let me just briefly recap what we've covered so far. Now, the series began with get what you want in 2024. As new creations in Christ, Christians shouldn't be preoccupied just by what we ourselves want, but what God wants for us. So we thought about what should Christians want. When what God wants is in the rightful place in your lives, everything else falls in place. And last Sunday was second sermon entitled Multiplying by Dividing. It is a big challenge for all of you mathematicians here. How is that possible? Well, I preached about a nurse called Karen who showed God's love by caring for a disabled church member. It's a real-life demonstration. It is not just something theoretical, but it is real in application of how Christian love multiplies when Karen and 31 other church members divide up the load of loving and caring for one another. Today is sermon number 3 of this New Year renewal series called We're going to think about our national heritage as Australians, as Christians. This Friday, Aussies celebrate another year of nationhood. Australian Open tennis is already in full swing. And there'll be fireworks. Shrimps will be thrown on the barbie. New Australian citizens will be sworn in. As another year of nationhood dawns on this land, I want to make a connection between our national heritage of ours with our heritage also as God's people. So let me turn you to today's scripture to renew our spiritual heritage as God's people in this land. Now, if you get to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, that's where we're going to start today, okay? And it's been said now, when in Rome, do what Romans do. Following that then, shall us Aussies do what Aussies do? Of course. So we draw out all the vowels. Noise, might. How's that? Is that close enough? And we also love footy. Well, maybe tennis is your thing, especially now with the Australian Open being on. It's okay. But what about our Christian heritage? As Christians, what do we keep in mind? How to live as Christians as well as being Australians? Today's scripture, the first 10 verses of Deuteronomy 8, let me summarize it for you in 2 points. First, live your national heritage in God's way. Live your national heritage in God's way. And how is that? Verse 1 tells us, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. Now, of course, the Lord did not promise us on oath to our parents, because for my family, I'm the first one here. Of course, I have siblings as well here. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is a specific promise to the Israelites as they get ready to enter the Holy Land as the permanent home from then on. But the principles can apply to us as Christians. How we can live in this land is to be careful to follow every command God is giving us from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, I don't know about you, what I'm most struck by are the first 6 words. Be careful to follow every command. Why am I struck by them? Because it arouses the cynic in me to say to myself, you see, there's always a catch. It's always about doing what God wants rather than what we want. Well, that's not really fair, being fair to God's word, because stopping there at 6 words make us miss the entire emphasis of verse 1. So what is the emphasis on verse 1? The emphasis on verse 1 that we do what God wants, to obey God, is the reason, the motivation, the purpose, so that you may live and increase. It's for your sake, it's for your good, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land, etc. Now, friends, as a father who only wants the best for his children, this is the God who indeed wants the best for us, his children. He's not trying to kill our fun and joy. It's not just about do's and don'ts. It's really about God having our best interests at heart. So it's in your best interests that God gave you his word. God didn't give us his word as a burden to keep us from having fun. Rather, God gave his word to remind us of the truth about his nature. His nature is to love us and provide us what we need. So if you look at verse 3, going to the last part of this, what does it say? What is God trying to teach us? That man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In those days, when they talk about man, it includes women as well. So it's for everybody to not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Now, you and I know that words can't fill our stomach, right? Any one of you step up to the dinner table and just listen to what your parents say and then you get off without eating and be filled? Unlikely. But look at what comes before and after this teaching about God's word from the Bible. Right before the mention of God's word, Moses reminded Israelites the God who spoke those words did in fact fill the stomachs. He filled the stomachs with manna, which was a special gift only for the people of that time and place. Not only did God feed them, but if you go on to what comes after God's word, you read in verse 4 that God also clothed them. So, when you step up to the dinner table, yes, whatever your parents say may not make your stomach full, but they who say these words are also the ones who place the food on the table so you can eat it and then be satisfied, right? And not only that, so Deuteronomy verse 4 continues, your clothes did not wear out. Not only that, but God also kept them, their clothes, in working condition, the body, in other words, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. How would you like to have shoes that can last you 40 years? 40 years not just sitting down on your comfortable chair, all right? 40 years walking through the desert and they still last. Friends, words may not fill your stomachs, but you need much more than a full stomach for your well-being. And what you must bear in mind is that the God whose word is truth is a God who's faithful in caring for his people, who comes to him for his care. So, by all means, have all the Aussie fun. Throw the shrimp on the barbie. Go to Australian Open, but be warned. Fun sometimes can funnel you to your own destruction when your fun is the only thing you care about, and especially when the fun you're having is not in line with God's word. It's good to be Aussies, and our national heritage should be followed and celebrated. But as God's children, celebrate your national heritage by living it in God's way. Live your national heritage in God's way. And the second thing about our national heritage comes from verses 11 to 20. Living your national heritage in God's way not only keeps you safely grounded in the goodness of God, it also safeguards you from getting funneled into pride. So the second lesson for us is live your national heritage in God's providence. Live your national heritage in God's providence. Why is that? Because when you live in God's providence, you are protected from the big head syndrome. What's the big head syndrome? It's when your head is so full of pride that it swells so big and you fall over. Ouch. So look at verses 11 to 14, shall we? It starts with, be careful. Incidentally, do you notice that the first lesson also started with, be careful? So from these two words, be careful from verse 1 and be careful from verse 11, I draw these two lessons. So the second lesson begins with, be careful as well. What's the second lesson? Moses is telling you as a reader of Deuteronomy today to be careful about. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. What are the causes that lead to pride? Verse 12 says, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, wow, isn't that what we have here in Australia, build fine houses? And when your herds and flocks, okay, we don't have many herds and flocks, but we get them easily from the supermarkets, grow large and your silver and gold increase, that's our bank accounts, and all you have is multiplied. Here's the kicker. Then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What is pride? Or what does being proud mean? Let me give you a story that illustrates this so well. What is proud? What is pride, okay? A student was taking an English test. He was quite happy to see that the test only has two questions. Better still, he thought the questions were rather easy. The first question was, what does proud mean? His answer, not humble. Wow, that's pretty good. And then follows the second question. What does humble mean? His answer? Not proud. You got it. How many marks? Big zero. That's not the way to explain proud versus humble. Thankfully, Moses spells it all out for us. What pride, what being proud means. Pride, as Moses illustrates, is when a person looks at their life and attributes everything to themselves. When a person sees the latest iPhone that they have, or the latest computer that they have, or the latest sports cars that they have, and say, oh, how a wonderful person I am that I achieve all this. People who are accomplished, and Aussies are very accomplished, by the way, these are the people who are accomplished are particularly prone to this syndrome. These are those who eat and are satisfied, build fine houses and settle down, whose herds and flocks grow large and whose silver and gold increase. ECCSians, this is a wake-up call. I, me, myself did it all. However, unlike the student who has only two questions to answer, which gets zero, Moses' answer is very clear in warning us. Verse 17 says, they say to themselves, my power and the strength of my hands have produced the wealth for me. Now, maybe indeed, Many of you sitting here are well sought after talent. Your company values you. You are a cherished contributor to your company. And in fact, Australia as a whole is fortunate to have you here to keep the economy going. Indeed, maybe some of you are gifted, well endowed, such that you produce wealth and you have produced health and all the good things here. Verse 18 warns us that as a child of God, don't you ever forget the source of your talents and gifts. It says, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. Indeed, many of you put in great work, great energy, great creativity to make sure your lawns are perfectly mowed and manicured, that your house is fixed to the T, the best features, the best lights. Many of your possessions may be best, and you say, yes, indeed, I am the one who went to the shop to buy them, talk to the contractor to install them, and have the wisdom or the smartness to earn money in order to do all this. But remember, where does your smartness come from? Where does your wisdom come from? And where does your strength and energy and all these good things come from? They could be just random. They could be just from yourself. But Moses makes it very clear. The source of all this is God. Now, maybe you're not like the Israelites under the covenant concerning the promised land. The house you live in, you did not receive a covenant from God and say, yeah, this is my house, okay? But as a child of God, don't for one moment forget that it is God who gives you the ability, and I would add, the capacity to produce the good things in life. How tragic it is for so many Christians who have life so good in Australia that they forget God. They are so busy accumulating the good stuff, maintaining them, growing them, that they no longer have time for God. They have so much bread. Our Lord teach us to pray, you know, give us today our daily bread. Hey, I have more bread than I can need the rest of my life, so maybe I don't need to pray that anymore. That's wrong. So many people have so much bread that they have no more room for God's word or for God's work or God's presence in their lives anymore. So if that's you, that you have so much in your life that you have no more room for God, then verse 19 is the warning for you. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Perhaps the people here today may not be bowing down and worshiping other gods. Perhaps your house may not have idols, so to speak. But let me warn you, bowing down and worshiping yourself is also idolatry. Make no mistake, anything or anyone who takes the place of God in your life is idolatry. So if you're in such a state, I urge you to wake up. Well, and then you slow down, but not to smell just the roses. Rather, you live your national heritage in the providence of God, remembering that it is God who has provided you with the ability and the capacity to have the things that you have. During your lifetime, that is. Because one day you're going to leave all this behind. So don't get too attached for them. Your houses have what they call infinity period, right? It is not a particular lease like many properties in Asia are. 99-year lease, 60-year lease that some you can renew, some you have to pay a lot of money to renew. Most of us in Australia, we live in the word perpetuity. Wonderful word, never ending. Unfortunately, we will not be never ending to enjoy that never ending, that perpetuity. So remember to live your national heritage in God's providence. So as I close, let me summarize how Deuteronomy 8 challenges you to celebrate your national identity. First, live your national heritage. Live as Aussies in God's way. Yes, it's okay to throw the shrimp on the barbie. It's okay to go to the beaches, enjoy the sunshine. It's good to live in the land of milk and honey. But live it and enjoy all this, remembering it is God, the ultimate provider for you. Live your national identity in God's providence. And let me close by getting you to think about something that we all take for granted, which is we live in the country that is described as the lucky country. Yes. Yes, some of us still remember that. As you may know, Australia is nicknamed the lucky country. But I wonder how many of us really do feel lucky for living in the lucky country. Do you feel lucky? Do you feel blessed, in other words? Yeah, only one person is shaking, is nodding their head. The rest are, what day is this? By the way? Now, personally, I don't like to use the word luck because it seems so random and devoid of purpose. Incidentally, when the book The Lucky Country was published in 1964, lucky did not originate in the sense of randomness, purposeless, like just accidental turns of events. Rather, the author's point was, Australia is lucky only because this nation benefits from other countries' innovations. That is, other countries invented the technologies and we're just lucky that we have the minerals and the ores to sell to them to manufacture whatever they have invented. In other words, Australia benefited from forces outside herself. She did not create this wealth. It is other countries that have invented all the technologies that need our ores, our minerals. So in many ways, that's how I feel. Lucky to be living in Australia because I got here due to forces outside myself. And maybe it's just God's making sure that I understand that by failing my first application. And only at the last moment that we squeeze through with just enough points. As a Christian, I believe that force outside myself is God. So it is my desire to live in this lucky country in God's way. It is also my desire to live in gratitude because I got here by God's providence, not my own. Incidentally, this is also the biblical model for my eternal heritage. My place in the kingdom of God, I don't deserve. I did not earn it. But it is all because of grace through my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Is that so for you too, as a child of God? That's the question that I challenge you to answer for yourself today. Amen.